Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So if you remember back to May of 2010, when the Dow Jones plunged about 1,000 points in a matter of minutes and bounced back just as fast, well, the flash crash, as it was called, happened as a result of a chain reaction in the what's known as high-frequency trading market. In his new book, Dark Pools, High-Speed Traders, AI Bandits, and the Threat to the Global Financial System, Wall Street Journal reporter Scott Patterson takes a look at the rise of artificial intelligence trading systems on Wall Street and the dangers they pose. Scott, thank you for joining us.
Thanks a lot for having me.
And I see that about 60 to 70% of all trading on the market today happens electronically by high-frequency trading computers. Tell us how they work.
That's right. Well, these are basically supercomputer systems that exist around the country in places that people would never suspect, like the outskirts of Kansas City or Austin, Texas, or Beverly Hills, actually, as well as Chicago and New York. And these computers send in massive waves of orders to buy and sell stocks, as well as other things like futures, options, contracts. And they're basically providing the liquidity that runs the market these days. It used to be guys sitting at telephones handling the orders, or guys on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange handling orders. Now it's computers. And you know, what I found is that, you know, researching this for the past 3 or 4 years, that it's this change has happened so rapidly that the regulators have completely lost their grip on what's happened. And nobody really knows what's going on anymore. And that's basically why I call this book Dark Pools, because the market has essentially gone entirely dark to not only the users of the market, but to the regulators of the market.
What does that term actually mean, dark pools?
Well, it's a technical term that means private venues where stocks trade away from the public so-called lit markets like NASDAQ or the New York Stock Exchange. So in the early 2000s, these new dark pools started rising up because big firms like mutual funds like Fidelity and Vanguard started worrying that because of these new computers could see their orders on the lit markets, they were running away to these dark pools to trade privately. They've grown bigger and bigger over the years, and now something like 10 to 15% of all stock trading takes place in these dark pools. But what I'm contending is that now the entire market has gone dark because of the lack of transparency in what's going on all of the markets.
Do you propose that they be regulated in some way?
Well, they theoretically are regulated. The problem is that the regulators have, in a sense, been asleep at the switch. So, they're trying very hard. The SEC, which regulates these markets, and the CFTC, which regulates the commodities markets, are trying. But I think that they're basically totally outgunned. They don't have the funds. They don't have the expertise to keep up with these transformations.
And what's the actual danger? The flash crash came and went. It dropped 1,000 points on the Dow, came right back. I know some money was lost there, but it wasn't that big a thing in the scheme of things. And yet part of your book's subtitle is The Threat to the Global Financial System. What's the threat?
Right. Well, the flash crash was a warning, and it actually did leave a scar in the market because investors started worrying that the market was unsafe to put their money in it and their retirements. What the growing fear is that because all of these markets are linked together, you could have another systemic event like that that spreads from, say, the stock market or from the futures market to other markets. So you could have, say, something that a fundamental change in the market, like, a Greece defaults or pulls out of the euro, and that triggers a big move in currency markets. So these trading systems are all running together. They will trade currencies, futures, options, stocks all together. And they look at all of those markets as signals for what they should do in the other markets. So if you have a gigantic move in currencies, that could cause firms to pull out of futures and then pull out of options markets and stock markets. And then since they are the liquidity that runs the market, you could end up having a systemic event across all the markets. And this is something that several researchers in the market have dubbed the splash crash, where an event splashes from one part of the market to another.
So what should be done to prevent those nightmare scenarios?
That's a good question. I think that, first of all, the regulators need to really get a grip on, you know, what's driving these markets. Some people propose that these firms have firm obligations to stay in the market. So since they're pretty much entirely unregulated right now, they can pull out whenever they want. And when things get too volatile, they do, because they have a very low pain threshold. When things get chaotic, there's a threat that they could lose a lot of money and they just pull out. So, you know, because there's the liquidity in the market, that's a big problem. So the regulators could mandate that they have to stay in the market during volatile times. And that's something that the old school market makers did have those mandates. They were firmly regulated, and the specialists in the Florida New York Stock Exchange did have those mandates. The question is, you know, even if they have a mandate like that and the regulators say you have to stay in, there's nothing that's going to force them to do it, you know, if there is something really big happening, because this is their money on the line. So if they feel like, you know, the market is becoming too chaotic and they could lose their money, they'll probably risk a fine or a slap on the wrist and pull out anyway. So it's very hard. I think that, you know, a lot of people are trying to figure out how this new system is going to work and how we can avoid something like that happening in the future.
Increasing power of computer over human. Wall Street Journal correspondent Scott Patterson. New book, Dark Pools, High-Speed Traders, AI Bandits, and the Threat to the Global Financial System. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And up next, Pamay Bassey, author of 52 Weeks of Worship, about attending a different religious institution every week for a year. And we'll take your phone calls if you have had experiences attending different kinds of religious institutions in different faiths. How do you compare how different communities experience the divine? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692.